Good evening, everyone. Our passage tonight is Jonah chapter 1. And looking from verse 4 to the end of the chapter, I'm just going to read the whole chapter through together. Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. They hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship, and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said one to another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Amen. May God bless his word. The book of Jonah is unlike any other prophetic book in the Old Testament. In this respect, in that the message of the book of Jonah is Jonah himself. You know, it's Jonah's life. It's Jonah's experience that is the message of this book. But as much as the book is about Jonah, this book is really about God. And if you miss that point, then you miss the significance of the book. Because this book gives us a wonderful and rich insight into the character of God. And the key verse for me in the whole book of Jonah is chapter 4, verse 2. And Jonah is speaking to God, and he says, "I know you. I know that you are a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love." This is the kind of God God is. And throughout the book, we learn about God. We learn about the greatness of God. We learn about the sovereignty of God. That he is a God who is in control. He's in control of the elements. You know, he gathers the wind in his fists. He hurls a wind into the sea. He sends the Sirocco winds in chapter 4. He's in control of the elements. He's in control of the animals. Whether it's the great fish at the end of chapter 1 or the little worm in chapter 4, he's in control of the animals. He's in control of the plants. He causes a plant to grow overnight, like the weeds in my garden. It grows overnight and provides shade for Jonah. We learn about the holiness of God. You know, the sin of that wicked city, Nineveh, the city of blood. He tells Jonah, call out against it. Their sin has come up before me. The holiness of God. You know, God cannot ignore sin. God will judge sin. But we learn about the grace of God in this book. Grace that is so vast, it makes Jonah angry. He would rather die than see God's grace come upon the Assyrians. His grace cannot be limited. It reaches out to all who will respond to him, all who will turn from their sin and serve God. Even to the wicked inhabitants of Nineveh, his grace cannot be limited. To pagan sailors on that ship, and even to a hardened prophet like Jonah, who will experience the grace of God. He is the God of the second chance. What a God he is. And Jonah's God is my God. He is the same God today. Do you know him? Do you know the God of the book of Jonah? Do you know God? As we look at chapter 1 tonight, I've got two headings. I want to think about two things. And they're on the screen. I want to think about God's rebellious prophet. I want to think about Jonah, you know, the story of Jonah. How Jonah responded to the call of God in his life. How Jonah responded to the will of God. To put it succinctly, Jonah said no. He said no to God. This book is also the story of God's relentless pursuit of Jonah. What a great truth this is. Despite Jonah's disobedience, despite Jonah's efforts to run from the presence of the Lord, God will not give him up. It is the story of God's relentless pursuit of Jonah. Praise God for that truth tonight. And you see these two things in verses 3 and 4. You know, verse 3, but Jonah rose to flee from the presence of the Lord. That's his rebellion. And then in verse 4, but the Lord hurled a great wind. This is God's relentless pursuit, and you'll see it throughout the whole book. So those are the two things I want to think about tonight. So first of all, God's rebellious prophet. Now, I guess last week, when you looked at the opening verses of chapter 1, you would have thought about Jonah's defiance. I've got a few headings just, you know, to think about Jonah's rebellion. Four headings. Defiance is the first one. God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh. You know, that city of Assyria, described in the book of Nahum as the city of blood. The Assyrians were Israel's violent oppressors. You know, their sin had come up before God, and God wanted Jonah basically to take the gospel to this people, to warn them that if they didn't turn from their sin, God's judgment would come upon them. That was the message. That's a message we all need to hear today. It's not just for the Ninevites. That's a message you need to hear. That if you do nothing about your sin, that if you do not repent and turn from your sin, you will face the judgment of God. How did Jonah respond to the call of God, to the will of God for his life? He said no. I won't do it. He said no. Said no to God. And he ran from God as far and as quickly as he could. He ran from God. He ran literally in the opposite direction of God's will for his life. You know, God said, go east, go to Nineveh. Jonah said no, and he ended up heading west. I don't know if I've got my east and west mixed up here, but he ended up heading west to Tarshish. Probably in Spain, the southern coast of Spain, a nice spot. Now, let's just pause for a moment. Could it be that maybe you are running from God in your life tonight, just like Jonah? Maybe God has asked you to do something. Maybe God has asked you to go somewhere. And maybe you're saying no. Maybe you're running from God. Maybe as a Christian, there is sin in your life. Or maybe there is just a general spiritual lethargy about you. You know, your relationship with God has grown cold. And in a sense, you're running from God. Maybe you don't know God. And maybe God's been speaking to you about your sin and about putting your faith in Jesus Christ, and you're saying no. You're running from God. Now, here's an important point. I just want to emphasize this point. What was Jonah running from? The call of God, yes. The will of God, yeah, that's true. He was running from those things. But more than that, he was running from the very presence of God. You know, that's emphasized throughout chapter 1. At least 3 times you read that phrase, that he was running from the presence of the Lord. He wanted to get as far away from God as he could in his life. The point I want to make is this, that Jonah was no spiritual novice. You know, he was no recent convert, to put it in those terms. He was God's prophet. This was a man, a spiritual leader in the nation. He was God's spokesman. God spoke through Jonah. He was God's prophet. He was used by God to declare God's word to the nation. You can read about that in 2 Kings chapter 14. God confirmed the ministry of Jonah. What Jonah said came to pass. So this was obviously someone of some spiritual standing. This was someone who had a relationship with God, a close relationship with God. This was someone who knew God, who knew the character of God. And yet there were still issues in Jonah's life that God had to deal with. Jonah had to learn that God's gospel is for everyone. That you cannot limit God's love. You cannot limit God's grace. Jonah wanted to keep the gospel to Israel. The simple point, though, that I want to make is this, that it doesn't matter what stage of the Christian life, the Christian journey you're on, whether you are young in the faith, whether you are a Christian of many years' experience, whether you're on the front line of Christian service, whether you are a leader in the church. It is possible, regardless of where you are, what stage you are on the Christian life, it is possible that When things don't go your way the way you want them to go, that you can say no to God. You can defy God. You can say no to God. And you can run from the presence of God. That can happen to any one of us. The great encouragement from the book of Jonah is God's relentless pursuit. He will not give up. So Jonah's defiance. I want to now think about his ensuing departure. Not just his physical departure, not just the journey, but his spiritual departure. You know, there were consequences. When Jonah defied God, there were consequences. As soon as he defied God, as soon as he said no to God, he was only headed in one direction. And this is so clear when you read through the book. That was down. You know, he began to sink. He began to descend. And you can follow his descent throughout the book. Verse 3, he went down to Joppa. Verse 5, he went down into the inner part of the ship. Right down into chapter 2, where he's into the very depths of the sea, into the deep. As far down as to the roots of the mountains. You know, a place of darkness, a place of pressure. This is where running from the presence of God will inevitably lead to. Now, there's a couple of points here. I want you to notice just how easy and how quickly Jonah was able to move in the opposite direction of God's will in his life. You know, he went down to Joppa and he found a ship. Just like that. He found a ship that would take him in the opposite direction. What's more, it just so happened that this ship had room for Jonah. And it just so happened that he had money in his pocket and he bought the ticket. And off he sailed, saying no to God, heading in the opposite direction of God's will for him. Now, the point I want to make is this, that as soon as you say no to God in your life, and as soon as you start to distance yourself from the presence of God, you know, and that may be that you no longer speak to God in prayer, you no longer listen for the voice of God in His Word, then you can be sure that you will find plenty of ships in your life that will come along and will take you quickly far away from the will of God, from the presence of God. Now, those ships could be different for you as they are for me in my life. You know, that could be, that ship for you could be your circle of friends that you keep. That could be a boyfriend or a girlfriend that doesn't share the same spiritual desires as you. That could be a lifestyle choice that you know, you just don't want to give up. Could be a website. Satan will make sure that there are plenty of ships just waiting to take you away. And you will need to decide whether you will buy that ticket, whether you will get on board that ship and sail from the presence of the Lord. But you'll pay the price. You will pay the price spiritually. The third point I want to make about this Jonah's rebellion, his defiance, his departure. The third point is this, that Jonah's rebellion put himself and put others in danger. Verse 4, the Lord hurled a great wind. Now, I know God's in control here, and God's going to display His grace. But this was a position of danger that these sailors and Jonah was in. The Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea. so that the ship threatened to break up. You know, the ship was in danger of disintegrating. Then the mariners were afraid. You know, these sailors, they were experienced sailors. The word mariner is derived from a Hebrew word that means salt. These were old salts. They were experienced sailors, but they were terrified. They were afraid in the storm. They even jettisoned the ship's cargo, so it must have been a terrifying experience. Verse 5, they each cried out to his God. They began to cry out to their gods, these pagan sailors, probably from a variety of different nationalities, each calling out to their God, fearing for their lives. You know, it's one thing to go through your life ignoring God, defying God. When you're faced with the prospect of death, when your own mortality is threatened, and when what lies on the other side of life becomes a reality, it's then that people cry out to God. I remember my in-laws were in New York on 9/11. They watched the towers come down. And I remember my father-in-law saying that when they watched the towers come down, you know, the crowds, there were people being sick, physically sick, and people crying out to God. You know, that's inbuilt. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11 says, God has put eternity into man's heart. That there is within each one of us a God-given awareness of eternity, an afterlife, that perhaps some only recognize when their time on earth, when they are threatened with death. These sailors cried out to their gods. So on the deck of the ship, there was danger. There was confusion. There was hopeless desperation. Where was Jonah? Where was God's prophet? Where was the voice of God through Jonah now? The man who knew the true and living God, the Creator God, where was he? Verse 5 says, he was fast asleep, in the inner part of the ship. The lesson I take from this, you know, Jonah's disobedience had put these sailors in a position of danger. And it appealed to me, you know, that when I don't live my life, when you don't live your life as you ought to as a Christian, you know, when you're asleep as a Christian, going through life sleeping as a Christian, you put yourself and you put other people around you in danger. To put it crudely, you're sleeping and all around are perishing. That brings me to my final point on Jonah. He became desensitized. I think that's a word. He became desensitized. Desensitized to God. You know, God hurled a great wind, a great storm into the sea, and it had no effect on Jonah. He was fast asleep. Desensitized to God moving in his life. He was desensitized to the spiritual need of the sailors in danger on the deck. He had fallen into a deep sleep. This was a sleep that was so deep he was actually snoring. Verse 6. Now, in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, I understand verse 6. The captain came in and said to him, that's translated, why are you snoring? That was how deep a sleep Jonah was in. And it took a pagan sailor to awaken Jonah out of his sleep and to ask him to pray. A pagan sailor. Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. Jonah had run from the presence of God. He had silenced the word of God in his life. He had shut out the word of God in his life. His prayer life had dried up. His impact as a Christian, his witness, his testimony, it was of no effect on that ship. And he had become completely desensitized. No one knew anything about Jonah on that ship. And he was the only one who knew the true and living God on that ship. The God that could save them. And it took an unbeliever. It took a pagan sailor to awaken him and to cause him to think about God. Are you running from God in your life? Have you shut out the word of God in your life? Has your prayer life dried up? Has your impact as a Christian in the community, has it lost its fervency? Are you in a deep sleep of spiritual slumber? Snoring your way through an empty and powerless Christian life? What will it take to awaken you out of your slumber? A storm? If God sends a storm into your life? A rebuke from an unbeliever? You know, it's sad to say that it's often been quoted that what puts many people off learning about Christianity and about God is the inconsistency sometimes in Christians' lives. Sleeping Christians, putting others in danger. Verse 7, the sailors cast lots to determine, you know, who is the cause of this evil. And of course, the lot fell on Jonah. You know, there's an interesting verse in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 33. It says the lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. You know, God was at work here. The lot fell on Jonah. Now, in verse 8, the sailors begin their interrogation of Jonah. They're asking Jonah questions. And in verse 9, you know, all Jonah did here, he answered their questions. It's all he did. He answered their questions. And now he spoke about God. He told them about God. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. He had obviously told them about his experience in running from God. Now, if these hardened sailors were afraid of the storm, once they heard about God, they were exceedingly afraid. Exceedingly. The mention of the name of Jehovah, the Creator God, the Sovereign God. You know, what is this you have done, Jonah? What should we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us? Jonah says, pick me up and throw me into the sea. You know, I honestly believe at this point in his life, Jonah would rather have died than do the will of God. And the irony is that to do the will of God in your life, that's exactly what you need to do. To die. To die to self. To cast yourself off of that ship that's taking you away from the presence of God, to cast yourself into the deeps, into the hand of God. Easy to say that. These mariners, you know, they did more for Jonah than Jonah had done for them up until this point. They didn't want to throw him overboard, so they tried to row hard for land. The words used, you know, describe that they tried to break through the waves. And then in verse 14, you have this remarkable situation. These pagan sailors are now praying to God. Jonah himself hasn't prayed, but now you have these pagan sailors crying out to the Lord. Three times the Lord's name is mentioned in verse 14. O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. And so they hurled Jonah into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Now you come to verse 16. This wonderful verse. These pagan sailors, having called out to God in prayer, they are now worshipping Yahweh. They are now worshipping the Lord. They're making a commitment to him. The men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. You see, this is the grace of God in action. You cannot limit the grace of God. You cannot limit the love of God. And all Jonah had to do was to tell them about God. To tell them about his experience of life with God. And these Gentile pagan sailors had an experience, an encounter with the true and living God. God's rebellious prophet. But God's relentless pursuit. You know, praise God, God didn't give up on Jonah. Despite his disobedience, despite his rebellion, you know, when he got on that ship, God was there in the storm. When they cast lots, God was there. When Jonah was cast into the deep, God is there. This is God's relentless pursuit of his servant. And could it be that God is relentlessly pursuing you tonight in your life? That maybe you are running from God and God is there. God is relentlessly pursuing you in your life. That is the kind of God he is. So stop running. Stop running. Stop fleeing the presence of God and get into his presence. May God bless his word. We'll close in prayer. Father, we come before you. We thank you for the book of Jonah. We thank you for what it reveals to us of your character, that you are a great God. Thank you for your grace, for your love. And Father, we just pray that you would speak to us. Pray that you would minister to each person here tonight by your Holy Spirit. Speak to us through your word. Meet us in our circumstances, where we are in our lives. We can hide nothing from you. You know everything. Speak to us, we pray. We ask all these things in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen.